Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right,
let's go.
I'll go wherever you want.
Follow me.
Right, hey.
Off we go.
We're off and running. We're off.
This looks like, you know, we could, there was a show in, was it in Australia? Maybe it was, I can't remember where I seen it, but the crowd all wear earphones.
Yeah.
And they can only hear what the guy's saying as they're walking along.
Is it like silent disco comedy?
Yeah.
Nice.
So there's people going, yay, and ooh, and there's people watching them going, oh my God, what are they doing?
Listeners, the voice you can hear is Jason Byrne.
Yeah, hello.
Jason Byrne.
Yeah, this is my funny guy.
My
21st proper funny guy, I guess, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Comedian.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, not that the other people weren't funny. They weren't comedians.
Oh, well.
Whereas, you know.
They better not be funnier than me. That's going to be real bad, isn't it?
No, there's no pressure. To be fair, we've only just started having guests.
Yeah. It's just been the two of you just running around talking to yourselves.
It's been us two for a while.
Well, only for 6 months.
Yeah.
The only thing is that I kind of wonder is, you know, because this is audio.
Yeah.
Do we have to run?
Well, we have to fake the breathlessness if you don't.
I think we've
all done. We don't have to, but I mean,
you've all done a bit of acting in our life.
We can do any aerobic activity.
Yeah. I don't really see it.
Don't tell them that we haven't been running all this time.
Well, what I like with running in Edinburgh is, so what happened with me, I'll tell you about how the exercise started.
Yeah.
I was asked to do, I don't know if this was a racist thing, but ITV.
That's a great thing to drop before you say it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll all be able to decide.
Yeah. So ITV asked us to do a kind of a talent show. Like, it was like a charity thing, and everybody had to pick something they'd never done before.
Right.
So Jason Manford did opera.
Okay.
But it turned out he actually was a good opera singer. Other actors did guitars and stuff. And I said, yeah, I might like to sing because I've never really sang before. And they went, yeah, any chance you could do Irish dancing instead?
Right. Yeah, that was racist.
Yeah, full on. Yeah. So I went, I've never Irish danced in my life, though, either.
So that hard. Come on, well, surely I mean, you did it as a child on the cobbles.
Well, as the English were coming, we were just...
Were you eating potatoes?
Yeah. Eating potatoes and hitting bin lids off the ground. So I went to, I didn't realise how intense it was. So I had to learn it. It's called hard shoe.
Okay.
So I went to the girl who was like this head dancer. She was to teach me this dance. And after 10 minutes in the training room, she went, we can't do this. Like, why not? You were so unfit. There is no way I can teach you how to do this dance.
Do you know what that means? She obviously fancied you.
Yeah, she did.
You could tell. Could tell the vibe was so strong.
She loved it. She asked me to go away.
Yeah, that's what I got from that.
So from then I started. Because when I was a kid, I ran.
Right.
I did 1,500 metres was my thing.
What, when you were like, how old?
Well, all the way up into secondary school, up to like 17.
Yeah, so
he's like that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we were 1,500.
15s and 3,000 metres and all that. Yeah,
right, on the track. So when I was a kid, we had no coaches.
What I used to do was it's about 400 metres out of the school playground into the street where you could smoke without being found.
I see, <yeah. laughs>
That's what I did when
Which
I was
print.
I assumed that. But we know, look, now kids have got coaches. There's a running school in a running section in the school.
Yeah.
And so we had to train ourselves. And this, you know, teacher with his fags in the car drove me and Ronan Gar.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey, up.
Oh, that's...
Right, let's have a look.
No, it's a matter of grave concern. Wait a minute, let me see if it's still recording.
That's a bit of drama.
That is a bit of drama.
Yeah, that was
flying out.
On the spot fly record.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing is that last time that happened, it even though it looked like it was still working, it never worked again.
Oh, well, that's right.
You know what?
That was closed and it's made its way over.
Yeah, I reckon we should put it around the back, right around the back.
With the foundation.
Then hope for the best.
No worries.
The pounding.
Can we do a little wish and touch some wood as well?
Yeah.
Okay, right, we're all right.
Yeah, good. So you were running with who?
Bit of wood. So the teacher, there was only me and Ronan Garvey that got into the Dublin finals.
Right.
And the teacher was smoking and in the car. Do you want to...
This way.
That way. And he...
Can we?
He just didn't care. So Ronan Garvey was long jump and I was the 1500 metre.
So you were pretty swift then if you're getting into the finals of things.
Yeah, I'd done
the... Were you naturally quite quick?
All Ireland.
Right. Well, so
I was representing Dublin in my school. But nobody gave a shit. Like, they were just like, yeah, whatever. So I get there, these guys have got coaches, right? And I'll never forget this. This is like, I must have been 15 at this stage. This guy has alopecia.
Right.
You know, like Matt Lucas kind of look.
Yeah.
And everybody knew him because he was fast.
Right.
Right. And I went, shit, this guy's in it, right?
Yeah. The alopecia guy's in it. Yeah.
I thought, because I had no coach, I'll coach myself with no experience. you know what's going to make me go quicker? No shoes, bare feet on a cork track.
God, you were years ahead with that theory.
Oh, listen, off I went.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. And I was leading. I was going, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. And I was going fast. Like, second lap, lovely. I'm leading. This is it, man. Third one, ding, ding. And the next minute, they all just legged it by me. They were using me as a pacer.
Right. Yeah.
And
you had nothing left in your legs because of the...
Well, my calves then seized up like concrete.
Yeah.
Because of the pounding.
And the barefoot, yeah.
And that was it. I had to be carried by my teacher across the pitch and him with a fag in his mouth. And then...
Like a babe in arms.
Yeah, I like that Olympics guy who pulled his hamstring and his dad came out.
Derek Redmond.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. And then, but this is no crap. While that was happening, Ronan Garvey won gold in the long jump. And nobody there to hug him. So, I've been, sporting all my life. I've always done loads of stuff. I think that's what makes comedy. I think that's why it's physical.
Well, you're very physical on stage, isn't it?
Yeah, and I need to feel like I'm doing something.
Yeah, moving. Yeah. So when did you get back into it then, the running?
So then, with the Irish dancing do that, I then started running. So I thought, that's the quickest way to get fit. So I started doing that. And then got into a gym with a friend of mine. And he was like, you know, he does all sorts of stuff in the gym. And then he said... Do you run? I went, yeah, I do a bit of run. I was doing like when I train, I'll do 10K now, right?
Right.
Just to train, just get it done. So he goes, do you want to do New York City Marathon?
Okay.
And I went, no. He said, you know, I'm 1500 metres. Still long, tall people in marathons, they don't like it. The little lads are great at the marathon.
Yes, yeah.
So I end up doing it for charity.
And where was this?
In New York.
But
the charity was the Temple Street Children's Hospital.
Right.
So I was brought into the hospital.
Right.
To see the sick children. I think it was a ploy. You can't say
you're
no.
No, I don't fancy it.
Yeah.
Having met them, I don't fancy it.
Yeah, and he's sitting there with wires in his head. I'm thinking, if he can take the pain, I can. So then I started training. And I was... That's 2 years ago.
Right.
It's like the fittest I've ever been in my life. Unbelievable.
It's great. Your first marathon's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, so...
Well, how was it?
Well, I was coming up to it, I was on 7 minute 15 miles.
Right.
That's the kind of speed I was at.
Nice pace.
Yeah. So, my plan was to do about 3:45.
Okay.
So not kill myself. And
that's good. good time though for your first marathon.
Yeah, but one thing I'd say, don't know about you guys, and a bit of advice I learned, was never run a marathon with anybody better than you.
Because you set off too fast.
Well, the two lads, one of them was my trainer friend, right, who's just so fit. The other one was an ex-Irish boxer who had a building company in New York.
Really tough.
So he hadn't even trained.
Right.
Somebody gave him a ticket. Yeah. So he rocked up and he went, I'll be joining your lad. And I was going, okay, I thought he's going to die.
Yeah.
No problem.
They make you feel really good about yourself, don't they, those guys? Yeah.
So I'm running, right? And the problem is with people who are better than you, you're not only trying to keep up with them, but they're constantly going, are you okay? Are you all right?
Yeah.
And I'm going, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah.
I am all right. Stop asking me. So we're 12. We did the hour and a half.
Right.
And it was the most amazing
day.
That's
great.
Ever.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, have you ever done New York? The marathon?
No, I've done London 5 times and Rob's done probably a couple more.
No, four times, right. And I've done Berlin and Yorkshire, but never. I want to do New York before I'm 50. That's always been the thing.
So if you do it for charity, you can get straight in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got to do that lottery thing. And
you got to win the lottery and then pay.
Yeah, and pay for everybody. So I go.
I want a mansion, a big holiday, party for all my friends, and a place in the New York Marathon.
So I do it. And we get a... Oh, there's those pacer guys as well. I wish I stayed with her.
With the little flags.
Yeah, this girl going... So she's talking to them all the way. She's on 3:45. And she's going, watch the bridge now. This is insane. Right? And all that stuff, right? And the crowds are absolutely amazing. You run...
I heard that the big bridges over the... They kind of seem nothing at first. And then in the end, they're like really long, gentle,
Jesus
harsh
Christ.
Hills.
We had the... one of the breeziest days ever, bollocks, right? And I then get onto Staten Island Bridge. You take off your jumper and your tracksuits, and you throw them to the side.
Yeah.
And Mexicans, like ants around food, grab the clothes and put them into these bags. Because they're supposed to go to charity, but they nicked them all.
Right.
And off you go across the bridge, right? You're like, oh, this is just no noise. It's just breeze. And then you hit Brooklyn. Is it? Yeah. Hang on. Yeah. And you do 11 miles down there, straight down the hill. But that's where you lose the plot. Because they're all cheering you.
And you go a bit fast.
And you have to have your name on your top because they love going, go, Jason!
Right, yeah.
So anyway, long story short, all the way through, it's all great. Coming off that 85th, 89th, whatever bridge it is, that big, that big iron
going
across
the one river. Where I was going to say the one with Sean Connery meets Kevin Costner, but that's in Chicago.
Yeah, that's not it.
It's not it.
So it's the other one where I'm sure there's been a couple of chases. And so we get down, there's about 10,000 people at the end.
Yeah.
Going, yeah, go. So I hit around mile 20. And it's like somebody started to hit a button on my legs. So I'm totally fine in my lungs and my head. And it's like someone starts pouring concrete into my legs. And then mile 22, it was like, bang, I had to stop.
It's an amazing feeling, isn't it? To get
Jesus
shut down
Christ,
like that.
Yeah. I was going, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Because I was fine. So all these strangers come over to me and start rubbing me legs. And they're going, come on, man, you're okay.
And so after the clothes thing, you're worried they're going to steal your legs.
Yeah, steal me.
Start nicking your shorts.
So that's in Central Park near the finish. So I go, oh, thanks a million, right? And they pick me back up and I start kind of walking fast to try and get going again. And there's thousands and thousands of people, right? I just hear this guy, Jason. And I look across, just one guy, about four people in, pointing at me, run, man, run. So I just start running. And I drag myself to the line. I did it in 4 hours, 2 minutes.
Ah, nice.
And I was, I know, but if it wasn't for that concrete blast.
Yeah, yeah.
So I found out what happened afterwards was that, I'd never done a marathon, but I was starting to slouch. And when you slouch with your back and all, the blood goes into your back to try and straighten you. That's what they were telling me. It was coming out of my legs. It wasn't going into my muscles anymore. It was trying to keep me upright.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you just get posture.
You,
you just get more tired the longer it goes on with a marathon, isn't it?
Yeah.
You set off, it feels great.
Yeah.
And early, if your early pace is too fast,
yeah,
then you just finish yourself.
And also, the thing is, when you get tired, you kind of imagine being tired like in real life, where you think, oh, I'm a bit tired now. When you get tired in a marathon, it's more like this. You think, oh, it's all gone.
Yeah.
Everything's gone away.
Yeah, I know.
All that I thought I had, it's just suddenly not there anymore.
Well, it's like a preview of what you're going to look like when you're 65, isn't it? When you see the photos. You see your photo at like 35 kilometres. Oh, that's what I'm going to look like. This gaunt, tired bloke.
I was trying not to look, but in Central Park, at that last finish. Oh, by the way, you run 5 kilometres the day before.
Right.
Okay. Just down to the finish line because, you know, a marathon is 20.6.3 or something, what is it?
26.2.
Yeah, so...
Well, 42.95 in case.
Yeah, but that 26 miles is not the finish.
Right.
Yeah, so they go, you're going to think that's the finish.
But it's not.
You've got that corner to get around. So that's what you do. So thank God I did.
Yeah.
Because I seen that 26 mile and went, okay, hang on. There's that bloody corner. So
run, Jason,
but
run.
Everybody around us looked like fucking like having strokes and they're bent, like you said.
But that's that first marathon thing, isn't it? I just didn't realise when I did my first one, just the amount of pain and suffering, particularly if you're going for that sub four. I think that's the time mark, you know?
Yeah, I would recommend to everyone to get in with one of those pacers.
Yeah.
And stay with them.
Yeah.
Because I heard her, I was with her for a bit, and then I went on ahead of her and she just goes, no, everybody slow down.
Slow down,
you're going to get your 3:45, just stay still.
Yeah, that's right.
And she goes, we're going to get a bit of speed going down. Because the bridge is a mile climb up.
Right.
And a tiny bit down.
Right,
When you look at it on the map or you look at it on the telly, it looks like up, flat, down.
Yeah.
It's up.
That's going to hurt.
Up.
But,
Bit of Edinburgh.
This is good. We've got this guy to prove we're in Edinburgh.
This is normally. This is kind of. It's probably a child as well being made play.
It is. Absolutely.
It's a child. I'm convinced, actually, looking at people playing bagpipes, that the actual instrument doesn't make any noise.
Yeah, you're a tube.
Because you're Scottish. That's probably an amplifier.
Just so angry.
And they're pressed on their own lungs.
Yeah. If you listen carefully, you can hear the consonants.
Shin bastard. Out of our town.
But I had this, not about you guys, but if you'd met yourself here 15 years ago, I mean, I've been here 20, I probably wouldn't talk to me.
I'll probably see myself on the way home now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Just crouch behind a tree, you know.
Because so you're running?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why are you running?
Well, I'm working late here at the moment. And the other night, I was going home, but it was after the gig. But it was, you know, after 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I saw a woman running with a dog going really well. It's like, oh my goodness, when do you go to work that you need to run at 5:20? And I saw some comedians of our acquaintance and their friends going home
at the same time.
Absolutely hammered. It's all happening at once.
Course,
I just can't do that anymore.
It's good. It's good when you accept that, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you don't want to be up till 4 a.m.
Well,
because I spent a few years in clubs in my late, in sort of mid-30s, thinking, why don't we all just go home now?
Running clubs.
You know, it's like we've proved our point. We're still up. Let's just come on.
But still,
where does this end?
They weren't running clubs.
No.
But all the years that you learn. Go and drink, and like when you go to a pub and you drink, and you maybe take it till about 12:30, 1, that's when you go home.
Yeah,
that looking for the next one.
Well, it's that moment where you have to drink something ridiculous or you'll go home. That's what Black Sand Bookers are for.
Yeah,
those drinks that you'll only drink if everyone else drinks one with you. That's a sign, isn't it? That
and
you're
also if you're having a good time, you think, this is delicious. I'm already always going to drink this.
But then I always found myself walking around the festival halfway and hating this place.
Yeah,
I'm going to hate Edinburgh.
Well, it's just so long, isn't it? It's such an extreme experience.
Yeah, but I think that's
because you've tired yourself out, isn't it?
I've drank myself to hate. You know, it's like kind of...
Like that bagpipe guy.
Yeah, so if I do shit like this, I don't mind Edinburgh.
It kind of chills you out.
I go and see a few shows.
Yeah.
So what I did here as well was... Because I do jiu-jitsu as well.
Okay.
So because I'm 44 now.
Yeah.
I tried to eat. Like, I've brought everything down.
Right.
Are you 44 this year or last year?
This year.
Hey, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
72. Good year for me.
Yeah, 72. Are you? What are you?
Yeah. I was born November 72, so.
Wow.
A year younger than you at school.
He's 47. Good man.
Thought I'm still here though.
You look brilliant.
I'm on his shoulder, mate. I'm all right.
His first Edinburgh Festival was Between the Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you mean the like Braveheart era.
Yeah, that's right.
You can imagine that audience.
You can fly off my show, but you can't take away my freedom.
Red like a four.
You actually were up here in the Braveheart era, because I went to see you that summer when I lived here, and everyone, let's go around here. We've gone around once. How long did that take? Should we go around again?
That's not long. No, that's about 15 minutes.
Should we just do the same thing again?
Yeah. We might as well, yeah.
Let's do it. We're going around Edinburgh's Meadows, by the way, in case you wonder what the hell I'm talking about. So, yeah, when I lived here, Braveheart was out.
Did you live here?
I lived here for a couple
of
years in the mid-90s.
Holy shit.
And,
I couldn't imagine that.
It was, yeah, well, it was that. It was quite a youthful thing.
I always
thing.
Imagine, sorry, just quickly, did they pack up Edinburgh after August?
That's right.
Like all these...
They're all the tenement buildings.
They're fake buildings.
Yeah.
So I think
they roll up all the cobbles. Yeah.
It was so childish of me to think, oh, it'll be like the festival, I'll carry on living here. And to be fair, Edinburgh stepped up. You know, it's still an excellent place for the arts and still quite 24-hour. The main thing that bubbled up was the antipathy towards English people. Yeah. It's much clearer to see when you're living in out of season.
Yeah.
And Braveheart really brought that home because, about the 50th time,
yeah,
someone who was, you know, my friend, said to me, ha, it makes you want to kill an Englishman. It started to...
Don't take
started
it personally.
To depress me a little bit.
Well, it's only a laugh, isn't it?
I was a lighting designer. That was my job before this.
Right.
All right. And I was doing a...
It's a bit flashy.
It's a bit flashy.
Hey!
If I had said that around my techies then, they wouldn't have. They just would have went, what?
Smash you in the head with a hammer.
Yeah, because that would... See, I'd consider that black belt comedy. It's a type of comedy, as a comic, you can only use around comics. So you can't use your black belt comedy around everyday people. So, like... Give you an example of black belt comedy. My wife goes, please don't talk to the people inside the school, which are black belt comedy stuff.
Right.
Just use the kind of, just do what they do.
Entry right. level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chat, right? So they're all talking away. Now, in jiu-jitsu, I'd broken my little finger. Actually, on Conor McGregor's coach, John Kavanagh.
Right.
He broke my finger. My fault, though. I held on to him.
Right, okay.
And he rolled, and I was supposed to go with him.
So, listen, Conor McGregor, someone's big in the fighting world, isn't he?
UFC.
Yes.
So I train big, in his gym.
Wow.
In SBG in Ireland. I go in and out of there. And,
So does the running aid the jiu-jitsu, or does it, is it a crossover, or what? Does one help the other, or is it sort
well,
of...
Well, the running is always my number one, because right. even though I do jiu-jitsu, it can be really full-on and good for the cardio... I only ever feel really good after a run. Do you know what I mean?
You always feel great.
I just
after
feel
a run. Yeah,
just
it's amazing, isn't it?
After I feel
a run.
Like fucking hell, I'm so awake now.
Endorphins.
Yeah,
just, it just seems to be on that balancing point between physical exercise and meditation. And
well, the thing about running, especially if you have to, because like, so what? I'll train at 10K. You must train even further. But that's real concentration with your brain.
Yeah.
To not stop. I think that helps your comedy as well. To keep writing or keep doing stuff, and I always feel like
I just feel like it helps everything.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when I don't run, I can really feel it. I can feel my whole existence grinding to a halt.
Yeah, and some people hate running. They just go, I hate the thing.
And they're the people who just shouldn't bother with it.
That's
they?
Right. This guy said to you, like, you know, I really hate it. What should I do? And you really surprised him by saying, well, don't
just
do
stop it.
It,
mate.
Yeah, do something.
There
else.
Is other exercise available.
People have
go for a swim, mate. Go for a swim.
I said, do what you like. Don't go. Imagine running and hating.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
then I'm going, Jesus.
But then to be fair, part of loving it is accepting that it's hard and
yeah.
at times it's going to hurt.
Yeah, yeah. But that's when you feel good about it, because you come back and go, I did that. I mean, I love the idea, going back to your marathon, the idea that you wanted 3:45
yeah.
and you got 4 hours too.
Yeah.
And somebody does a run, it's like, well, that's 17 minutes. But in that 17 minutes, it's like this epic experience.
Jesus Christ, I could see
it's
the
a novel.
Clock.
It's a novel. Yeah.
But I could see the clock from 3:56
because
I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
And go, come on, the fuck. And I was trying to break the hour.
Yeah.
And I just went click.
It's so, so dramatic, isn't it, when you see the clock ticking down?
Because I remember Piers Morgan being recently on telly saying, you know, a second is useless. And, you know, when she was, the other girl was going, yeah, but taking part is what it's all about. But with marathons, all those finish lines are first.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's yeah, the absolutely. Best thing about it. Yeah,
they're all first. It's you going.
it's all valid. Isn't it? Yeah.
I fucking finished. Doesn't.
But also in real life, although that's absolutely true, that's much less of a positive thing than it sounds.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Because people break themselves on that. It's just you and your race, and that's it.
It's just humans pushing themselves up my guard, right? Talk about Irish paddy whackery at the finish line. A couple of mates.
Knick knack, paddy whack, give it a dog a bone.
Give the paddy a good time. I did see that sign quite a lot. Pain is temporary, your time is forever.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Also, if you injure yourself right, your pain won't necessarily be temporary.
Oh, yeah, true. Well, yeah, I did find myself walking down backwards downstairs for the next day. The other way around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus Christ.
People around you thinking that they were living backwards.
So anyway, we go over the finish line. I get me medal. Just all, you know, there's lines of... they're like hung up like coats, all the medals.
Yeah.
And the guys are just hanging them on people. And there was about four sets of them.
Yeah.
You know, one staggered all the way down. I look down. My Irish mates are behind me. What's he do? Puts his medal in his pocket, goes up the next one, gets another one, comes out with three fucking medals, sitting in the pub going, look at that! He's going, you absolute
I think
chick.
You missed the point of this one.
Yeah. You're just stolen. And, oh yeah, oh, by the way, a bit of a tip on the 5K thing. That's $60 to run, or you just jump over the fence.
Oh, what, on the day before?
Yeah.
That's a good tip, then. What, they charge you $60 to run it, though?
Yeah.
Wow.
So jump over the fence with your number for the marathon.
Yeah.
And off you go. And I'm not joking.
Yeah.
I've seen nobody do it.
Right.
Apart from the six of us. The paddy whacks at it again. Go, I'm not paying $60. We've already paid.
Enough. Yeah, yeah.
Because someone jumped over the fence in the London Marathon this year.
What,
to get from 14 miles to 22 miles.
That was one of those TOWIE stars, wasn't it? Reality TV stars.
Yeah. Oh. He's thinking, I've thought of something no one else has thought of before.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, well, I forgot about the Black Dog Comedy story.
Yeah, go on then, yeah. Sorry. So you're there with your finger.
Outside, yeah. Rugby trainer, my son's rugby trainer. One of the girls is telling the story. And the guys are, the girls, you know, parents.
Yeah.
Very much at a white belt level of comedy. Yeah. So, talking and giggling, right? And one of them is, she's a really good runner. And she goes to me, "You're training?" I said, "Not at the moment. I've hurt my finger, so I can't roll, which is what you do in jiu-jitsu." And she went, "Oh, roll, you can't roll, what?" Looking at all the others needing sex.
All right.
And I went, "Oh yeah," kind of thinking, just keep giggling.
Right.
And she went, "What? Rolling with Brendan, what? You can't roll." And then I went, she says that, oh yeah, then she finished going, her last line was, "So you hurt yourself rolling."
Yeah.
Right? Doing the sex thing. And I said, no, see, I always see my wife up the arse.
Straight in.
No laughter. Shock on faces. That's probably a fifth down answer.
School gate humour.
That's a school drop off. They were all going, what?
Yeah, so that's like that injury for the marathon that lasts forever. They're not just offended there and then. They think about you differently from that moment to the end of their lives.
The shock lasts forever.
So they know not to say anything
not
to
your mess with them.
So that was definitely a thing that we do because, you know, because we do our stand-up and that's all done. It's all done for the people. But the next level is normally quite dark with us.
Yeah. Well, if stand-ups forget, if they spend so much time with stand-ups that other people don't joke like that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, you see it a lot in real comedy, don't you? Yeah, particularly among, you know, less experienced comics. They just do jokes and they're like, what? Why is no one laughing? It's because all your mates are comedians.
Yes.
And they know what's going to happen. But equally, right at the other end of things, sometimes you really want people to go in at what you think is white belt level and do like a blindingly obvious joke.
Oh.
You know, someone will say to you, set you up in Edinburgh doing a show, and it's like, no, I'm in Tahiti doing the Tahiti Fringe Festival.
Yes.
And they go, oh, really? Is there one? No, oh, come on. That's pretty basic stuff.
I did a thing the other night, but tell me if somebody else has done this, because it's quite an obvious. I do a thing about not being able to be a celebrity as a comic because my family drag me down all the time, right?
Yeah.
And I say, like my 16-year-old would walk into the room, come up to me and go, you're not even fucking funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then high five his mum. That's the a good laugh, right? Then I did this and I say, even my nan has been at me. She comes up to me and goes, are you still doing the comedy with inverted commas with her fingers?
Yeah.
And I go, I thought that was pretty nasty. So I realised a couple of months later, she was being nice. It was just her arthritis in her hands.
Right.
That was doing the inverted commas. So, I don't know if someone else has done it, but they're still staring at me, going, sorry? No. And I've literally had to do it again, going, you know,
see, because of
comedy, arthritis, and they're kind of going, and then it's too late. So
this is a good question, good point to ask. How's the show going at Edinburgh, James?
Well, this is...
are you having fun with it? You always do really well here, don't you?
Yeah, and I think...
You're a bit of a colossus here, aren't you?
Yeah, but that's because, I mean, I've sold the most amount of tickets for an act in Edinburgh ever since it started.
It's amazing.
Nice.
Do you know why?
Good record.
You're here all the time.
They won't fuck off. Right? And that's the Irish answer. If I was an American, I'd go, it's such an achievement. But my Irish answer is, it's like, I won't stop collecting Pokemon cards.
It is great, though. It's great.
Yeah,
a lot of guys have come through here. You'd want that. That's amazing.
Yeah, people come a lot. You still got to sell the tickets.
Yeah, and it's got to be a new show every year.
Yeah. Easy.
And so, when I started out, I used to do a lot of prop stuff because my memory was really bad with the stand-up.
Right.
And then moving around London.
And also, your memory was really bad with the stand-up, wasn't it?
Yeah. So,
do you think most prop acts just develop because of a bad memory?
Probably. I'd say Tommy Cooper was exactly that because he was always drinking. So he could just look down and go, right, it's
that's
the
next gag.
It's the bottle spoon next. That's what I was doing. But when I stopped kind of doing a lot of props was when I was carting a pair of mannequin's legs on the tube, like around to gigs.
Starts to look a bit suspicious.
Well, I just couldn't carry them anymore. So,
I carry a heavy guitar bag and pedals to all my gigs, and this is filling me with shame.
Well, so anyway, I called this show Jason Byrne Propped Up. I started to bring all my prop love back, and I've got like...
Yeah, because on the poster you're leaning against a massive rubber duck.
Yes.
Is it real? Is there a real one?
There is a real one, but he's not that big.
Ah.
So...
That's good though.
But on the tour he will be.
Yeah.
Because I asked for one here and they're like, I don't know where we're going to get it. So there's somebody making it for me. But there's loads of props in the show and the audience get up and join in with them. And it's one of my favourite shows this time because...
How many shows have you done?
Up here?
Yeah.
21.
Excellent.
So, no, because 21 was the competition, 19 solo shows.
19 solo shows.
So...
Oh, just 19?
Wow. Yeah, just 19.
Ah,
oh, so I... I thought, fuck it, I'm going to have some fun. Like, I think that we get so head up in the comedy, intense, and going, Jesus, I hope this is going to be good.
Yes.
This has got to link into this. This has got to, oh, Jesus. But all the people want is a fucking
They just
laugh.
Want to laugh for
have a bit of fun.
Because I don't do, I never have any kind of narrative or list shape to my show. I just do stuff. And the moment I realised you don't have to do that, it was such a relief.
Yeah, but that's what I've done here. I've just had loads of props. I just jump in and out of them if I get time for the hour.
Yeah.
And I just, all the pressure seems to be gone. It's like I've burst this boil.
But also, you've got to have a sense of how props are fun in a comedy way, because sometimes when you see like a play or something, particularly like a Penny Mites theatre show, it can be really good.
Yeah.
But actors, when I used to direct theatre, and actors just hate props.
Yeah.
You know, seen with the easiest prop, like a jug of water or something, and this look of fear goes into their eyes.
That's because they find it hard to say their lines and move.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the hardest thing for them.
Whereas if you recognise that props are a laugh, it's like a wonderful
just
world.
The fact that you're using them is part of the joke in itself, isn't it? Just the kind of the absurdity of what you're...
Yeah, there's a joy in
you're picking up.
Well, my favourite prop on this show is probably the best thing I've ever written in my life. And it's three Deal or No Deal boxes.
Right.
You know, the red boxes?
Yeah.
With 1, 5, 2 written on them, whatever. And sometimes they don't get opened in the night.
Yeah.
But these girls the other night were wrecking my head. And I was doing a quiet bit. And they were going, Jason! And people in that area are going, tell them to shut up.
Right.
And I went, no, leave her. It's okay. Look, listen. Let's make friends. Well, I tell you what, you could win a prize. And she goes, oh, okay. And the crowd are kind of going, don't let her. So I went, no, it's okay, she's all right. Let's make friends. So I said, pick a number. And she sits up and she goes, 5. And so I go to the box.
Yeah.
Open the lid, it goes, dinner, 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 and cunt is written on the top of the box. I then shut the box and the music stops and I don't ever say it in the bedroom again. It is
best.
So what I've done, so I'm going to bring that on. So for the tour, I've got a countdown board.
Yeah.
And the same person will go, sorry, that was mean. Well, let's try something else.
Right.
My voiceover. And I'll go ahead. And my voiceover goes, consonant, please. Consonant. There's only 4 letters. And it's obviously C-U-N-T spelled wrong.
Yeah.
And then I go, hit the music. He goes, dilla, 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 dilla. And then my voice goes, I've got a rope before. So that's been
nice.
So that's just a little bit of proppy thing.
I'm hosting Comedy Countdown as we speak.
Oh, are you?
No one's dropped a C-bomb yet.
Oh.
Although,
it's
you know,
a matter of time.
You get a lot of actual Countdown fans in, so they might be a little bit upset.
Where are you doing that?
At Gilded Balloon.
Oh, cool.
It's a erstwhile late show, but I've taken over hosting it from Dan Atkinson. Because I do love a quiz. Well, we did The Weakest Link.
Oh.
Great days.
Jesus Christ, remember that, you brainy bastard? Did you win that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
That's what actually started me off doing the fundraising for Parkinson's UK.
Well, I was
my dad Parkinson's, but that's the first time I made any money for it.
Well, I was basically that day, I just couldn't hear what she was saying. Do you remember the speakers were in the ceiling?
Yeah.
And I kept going to her, sorry, what? And she was going, repeating the question. I was wasting time. But I think I got voted off 4th, so I was quite pleased with that.
It was hilarious. It was difficult for me because you were hilarious and you were next to me.
Well,
so I was standing laughing too much to do it properly.
I kind of clicked with her because I love fucking evil old women. So I had good fun.
And also, she's faking the meanness, isn't she? We really got her smiling and laughing.
She's so nice.
Yeah.
I was going, God, that's brilliant. Very clever, nice woman.
Yeah.
I'd say she'd be an excellent stand-up. Like a dry whip.
Yes, yeah, she would.
Miserably
yeah.
dark.
She did something with Marcus Briggs, though, didn't she? And they got on with
you. She's not giving in on this, is she?
Sorry, cyclists.
She was having it straight into her.
Yeah, run on cycle paths.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So where are you at? Where you're running now then, Jake? You're just chilling with it.
Yeah, I'll go.
Do you have any races? Have you got any?
Yeah, I'm going to probably do the half marathon in Dublin in September.
Right.
But I'm never going to go further.
Right.
Well, no, I'm not going to say never.
No
more
marathons.
In case something happens. No, I just felt I didn't have time for the training.
You've got to do London.
It's a long way.
Yeah, but what happened was I was on tour trying to find 2-hour runs.
Yeah.
Every city I went to.
Yeah.
Near the end. But what I did learn was I'll never do more, just for me, because I think everybody's different.
Yeah.
I'll never do more than 16 miles.
Right.
Before the marathon again. And I won't run. I won't run. 2 weeks before the marathon at all.
Right.
Not at
just
all.
Just really rest.
Yeah,
not,
absolutely.
Not, because you can't
beyond
lose
taper.
Your fitness.
Yeah. You can overtrain too near it, definitely. Yeah.
And then, the other thing was, the guy said to us, just cover yourself in Vaseline on the day. And I put it in my socks.
Instead of clothes?
No, I had a little sock
very,
thing for me cock.
Very important.
So yeah, everywhere the skin meets.
Vaseline everywhere, yeah.
But the best one was in the socks. And I didn't get a single blister.
Oh, nice.
Good for you, mate.
Felt weird for a little bit.
Yeah, no blisters.
Well done, boys.
Well, that was good fun.
We ran just over 3 miles in 35 minutes. It was lovely.
That's all right. That's cool.
Well, that's
Thank
a nice
you.
Pace.
Nice, nice and relaxed.
Yeah, it was a good pace.
Nice and relaxed.
So my pneumonia sweat out into the hat.
That's
look.
Great, isn't it? You're running through a cold. It's great running through a cold.
Oh, you're on Twitter, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, put your mic back by your mouth while I ask you.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. But you are on
just
Twitter.
Try not to leak on your fucking...
Yeah, just use it like, like Terry Wogan.
Oh, okay. I am on Twitter. I'm on at the Jason Byrne.
At the Jason Byrne.
Yeah, because there's many Jason Byrnes in the world. Yeah, I have a little blue tick.
I got a joke in my set about how you can follow Rob Deering on Twitter. Yeah. He is an attorney in San Diego. So
well, if anybody wants to go on the website of jasonbyrne.com, he's a magician in Vegas.
you just need to get together, you and him. You'd be fine.
Well, I was doing a show where he surprise Skyped me.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God. And he did a card trick on
did
Skype.
Oh, that sounds
but
great.
As he moved the cards, he took them out of shot.
Right.
And brought them back
that's
in.
No, that's no good.
And then went,
that's
is this
no
your
good.
Card? I was going, well, anybody could have done that.
yeah.
He just literally
that's
took
not impressing
it.
Me, mate.
I was like going, four diamonds. And he literally went, rummage. I just took them out and went, this one? Went, yeah. Assuming you don't get a lot of work
so
in Vegas.
Don't follow him, but go to the Jason Byrne or at RunComPod, because not that many people follow us on Twitter.
Well, I'm going to, I'll stick it
Facebook.
Up.
Facebook, we're all over Facebook.
Do you know what you should do? I mean, and I'm always kicking myself for not doing this, because I've trained in New Zealand, Australia, all around Britain. Like the best run I ever found of any this, if you ever get to it, it's in Aberdeen.
Right.
I was asking on Twitter, where can I run during the marathon? And they said, run the railway track. I went, what the hell is that? So it starts at the back of these council houses. It's a railway track filled in with tarmac.
Right, that sounds
and
great.
It's a dead flat path.
Right. Lovely.
And you end up, like I ran 2 hour, an hour and a half out.
Yeah.
And I was in the mountains.
Yeah, sounds yeah, but
in mountains.
Well,
in
I know that I know flat places to run here, which in Edinburgh is quite impressive. I've got there's a really good canal one and a really
the canal
old
runs.
Railway here. It's really gorgeous.
Yeah, Des Bishop and John Bishop were telling me about those. Should do them.
It has to be. I mean, you think of me as a bishop if you want to take my word on it.
Oh, okay. But listen, I should have stuck a GoPro on me going around New Zealand and Australia and just saying, here's all these runs.
Yeah, yeah.
If I do it, I'll link into you, lads, and then we can all ring up Nike and go give us money.
Yeah, that's of course. That's
dear Nike.
About.
Yeah, dear Nike. I think that's Nike. All you have to do.
A percentage of your profits.
They're sitting on money. You just have to ask. People never know. Dear Nike. So who are you waiting for now?
Just oh, another committee. But let's wrap this up. Thank you so much.
No, thanks a million.
That was really
nice. Enjoy the rest of your Edinburgh.
I'm really glad I did that.
Good luck getting through your cold.
I'm going to run back home because if I cool down now, I'll get pneumonia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well done, boys.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Boom, 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 boom,